reading today. Usual, but I have an intention for that today. I think God wants for us also to hear that, particularly in regards to a life that was one of the greatest examples of a man who loved God and also of a man who fell in a dramatic way, perhaps the greatest way recorded in the Bible of someone falling from God's grace, but then being restored. And his name is Peter. We're in a time leading up to Easter, and in the lectionary we have different verses and different passages that we read that prepare us for what is coming at Easter time. Okay, I'm more aware of that because I'm reading it and then I'm preparing a devotional every day. Some of you are reading the devotional, also the scriptures, which I am very encouraged by. And I hope that you'll continue to do that. But one thing that you can really help yourself with at Easter time, and I'm talking about every Easter time, and actually during Christmas time as well, in Advent season leading up to Christmas, is to start a practice of taking out your Bibles and reading the scriptures that are especially about that time. The time of Jesus' birth leading up to his birth, all the scriptures of how the angels appeared to people and told them that they were going to be involved. It's a really important thing for you to open your Bibles and then spend time reading that in preparation for Christmas, because it's much different than hearing it read at church, right? You want to be able to read through the whole story of it. And you can do it with your children as well and say, sit down and we're going to read through these scriptures together and make a practice of it. You know, you can have a dinner and then you could say, now we're going to read the Christmas story from the very beginning all the way through and see all of the things that develop there. There's four different gospels that give us these stories. And so you would have to choose one of them, Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, to be able to do so. If you read all four, it would be even better. It wouldn't take that long, actually. When you think about the things that we spend time on and the things that we pour ourselves into, it's really very little time that we're devoting to God and reading his word in that kind of way. So I want to encourage you, before Easter, to take out your Bibles, and in each one of the books, like the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, read from the point where it speaks of Jesus being arrested, right, or having the Last Supper with his disciples, right, and then being arrested in the garden and being taken away, and all of the things that happened during that time leading him to his trial and then his crucifixion, and then continue on and read to the point where he is resurrected from the dead, and experience that in your own Bible reading and reading it for yourself. It's tremendously dramatic, and it's incredibly helpful for us to be able to appreciate God more. And also what it really does is it helps tune our hearts towards repentance, right? You can, if you're like me, if you sit down and if someone says, okay, now we're going to repent, well, you're starting to think about, okay, so what have I done wrong? Right? But if you read God's word, then the Holy Spirit brings up in you the things that God wants you to think about. And the most moving thing and the thing that causes us the greatest urge and desire to repent of our sins is to hear what Jesus went through for us. Right? That he was scorned and mocked, and that he was beaten, and that he was spit upon and laughed at by all these people, that he was sentenced to death over someone who was more deserving, a real criminal, and his own people turned on him in that kind of a way. And it gives you a sense of yourself and seeing yourself among the people who were responsible for putting Jesus through all of that. And so read the Bible, read the Passions. It's called the Passion. It's the leading up of Jesus to the point of his crucifixion, and then read on to the resurrection and see the victory that we all have when we believe in Jesus Christ, that is our own eternal life. It's important for us also to revisit these things over and over again. And if not any other time, it would be a good time during this time leading to Easter. So please do that. You'll really benefit from it. And I pray that God will help us all to develop that habit. So Peter is one of the great examples in the Bible for us. He is an example to us because we can see ourselves in his life. Okay, we can at least see someone we know in his life. It's quite extraordinary, the Bible, isn't it? That we have an ancient writing that is not just rules, like we were talking about, which are also a part of God's Word, and they're a very important part of it, but we are introduced to people who lived at the time that Jesus walked this earth, knew him, ate with him, learned from him, spent time with him, and they recorded it for us to be able to read about. Absolutely amazing, astounding, that the things that we are given and we oftentimes take for granted, but it's right here in front of us, and we can learn through Peter this second week in a row about one of the things that we really need to spend a lot of time thinking about, which is repentance. Why? Because it is spoken of often by Jesus. Not because we have to do this, but because Jesus spoke about it and he taught about it and he showed people what it looks like. And then we have this example of him interacting with Peter, his disciple, who loved Jesus. And we have this tremendous person in Peter who helps us to be able to understand what repentance is all about. Now, last week we had a heavy sermon, you know, talking about different kinds of people who are trying to avoid God and trying to avoid having to admit, you know, that they need God in their lives or in a deeper way, or maybe they're trying to evade God in some kind of a way. It was a little bit heavy, right? But I felt that we should look at this another week, and I think that this week, seeing a person having an example like Peter will help us to be able to relate to it and perhaps even receive it even more in a deeper way than we could have in the past. So one of the things that we mentioned is what Alfred already said at the beginning of the service in describing or defining repentance. It really is a godly sorrow for one's sin, together with a resolution to turn from it. So it's a godly sorrow, right, that comes into our heart for our sin, and then a resolution to turn from that and to move on, right? And that's what we see in Peter firsthand in his life, a godly sorrow over his sin, and then a resolution through the aid of Christ to turn from it and to move on. Beautiful, right? Doesn't that sound great? Doesn't that sound like if you thought of someone in your life that is going through a struggle, and they're really not very repentant, they're continuing on in it, and it doesn't seem, you know, you can even talk to them because you're afraid of hurting their feelings about what's going on, and you see in their life, even though you really love them, but you're not able to do that, but to take this word now and to see how God works in the life of someone, and to have that hope that the same will happen in the life of your loved one or that person that's on your heart, that they would repent in godly sorrow of their sin, but then turn from it, make this resolution to turn from it and to begin living for God. So that's where we're going. Well, there's some more scripture that we need to read about Peter to really get a full grip on the story. Okay, so what I'd like to do is begin actually, a little bit earlier in Luke, and there's different stages for Peter, okay, coming to repentance. First of all, and listen to this, Jesus foretells Peter's sin. He foretells his denial. So he's talking to Peter, and this is a really interesting passage. It's in Luke, in chapter 22 there, in verse 31. Listen to the way Jesus is talking to him. This is before anything, okay? This is before all the things happened where Jesus is arrested and all that. Simon, Simon. This is Simon Peter. His name was Simon Peter. Satan demanded to have you, that he might sift you like wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned again, strengthen your brothers. And Peter said to him, Lord, I'm ready to go with you both to prison and to death. And Jesus said, I tell you, Peter, the rooster will not crow this day until you deny three times that you know me. So did you notice the word turn in here? It's in advance of what Peter is going to do later after he has denied Jesus. Okay, so what is going to happen, we just heard a little bit of it in this passage that Betty read for us. But what is going to happen is that people are going to come to Peter and they're going to say to him, when Peter is watching what is happening to Jesus in the court there where he was arrested, they come up to him and they say, weren't you like his friend? Don't you belong to his group there? And he says, no. Right? He denies that he knew Jesus at all three times. And Jesus is telling him before all of that happened that it's going to happen. But listen to what he says. Satan demanded to have you. So Satan is involved in that. Right? And he demanded him from Jesus that he might sift you like wheat. That is not a good thing. But I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. Now that is cool. That is amazing that Jesus has this kind of thing going on with the devil. And it's not the first time, but he is saying, I'm praying for you. And I prayed for you. And that is something we can claim here, that Jesus Christ is praying for us. You going through a hard time? Feeling like, you know, where's this God of hope? Where is this supposed God of hope that loves me and cares for me? Why is all this happening? When I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. Claim that. Claim that word and stop accusing God of not being a God of hope. That is a sin. Right? Okay, we just have to call a sin a sin. Doubting God, not putting God first, not saying that God is the only true God, is a sin. There are two commandments for it. Right? Respect for God, honoring God above all other gods. I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that you are praying for me that my faith will not fail. And when you have turned again, when that happens, right, something is going to happen there, strengthen your brothers. There's great hope in those words. There's great hope in those words. Why? Because he's telling him, despite the fact that he's going to fall into sin and he's going to fall away, he is giving him forgiveness for that, and he is going to restore him and give him work to do. In advance. In advance of Peter's rejecting and telling people, I never knew him. So what I hope that we can do today, and I think that God wants for us to do together here, is to realize what kind of relationship our Lord Jesus Christ has with us. And it isn't just a matter of us going out there and, I hope I don't sin today. I'm going to try my best in life, and I'm going to do all these things, you know, and, I fell short. God is disappointed with me. I've done it again. I've fallen short. This is so hard. And things like that. No, Jesus is praying for us. He is in relationship with us. It isn't a random kind of relationship that we have with God when we do the things that he wants us to do, and therefore he exists for us. He exists always, right? Always. He always was, and he always will be. We are in a relationship with God, and he is pulling for us, and he is there for us, and he is feeling us when we are tempted again and we have all these things happen in our lives that go wrong, or that we feel like we've fallen again into sin. He is not standing over us to condemn us. He is there to bring us back to where we need to be and to use us as his light and witnesses in this world, so that other people have the great honor and the great joy of knowing him and having hope and having life and having eternal life, a home in heaven to go to. So if you ever have any feelings like God doesn't exist because he hasn't answered your prayer, read this. Read through all of these scriptures that I'm talking about here, and you will get to know him. Okay? And this is going to result then in our repentance. But what does Peter say to him? And this gives us a really important picture of him and also of ourselves. Not me, Lord. I am ready to go with you both to prison and to death. I am ready to go with you. I am going to follow you. I'm going to be at your side. That's me. I love you. You're my God, and I'm going to do that. Jesus says, I tell you, Peter, the rooster will not crow this day until you deny me three times that you know me. So there is this kind of thing, and I think it's also something that God wants us to pay attention here, that we are very well-intentioned many times in our life. I am a Christian. I believe in Jesus. I want to be a follower of Jesus. Yes, he is my Lord. But watch out, okay? Watch out. There is a Satan who exists, and he is against that happening. And he is very, very involved in this picture as well. But Jesus is greater. All right? But what God really wants us to also know is that it isn't just like maybe we're going to fail. We failed already. Oh, God forbid, I don't want to be like Peter. Sorry, you're like Peter. If you think you're not, then you need to repent. Terrible what those people did, those terrible things that those people have done, right? We use things like that, right? Oh, horrible, horrible. Look at what they're doing in their lives. Peter is in each one of us. And you don't know what's going to happen. I remember there was a guy who came there was a justice mission that we invited to come to our church, and they went to all areas of the world, and they stood up for people who were being mistreated and suffered injustice and all kinds of terrible things. You know, there was a sex trade. There's all kinds of different things that were going on. And they got involved with those things. And I remember very well that the man stood up and he said, you never, ever understand your own fears until you're put into that position where you're standing with these people who are evil people with weapons, and they're taking children and putting them into slavery, or they're taking people, women, and they are selling them into prostitution, and you go up to them and you try to tell them not to do it, you have to be prepared for fear, because you're never going to know it any other way. And so what that spoke to me about is that I have that in me that Peter also acted out in real life. I love Jesus. I can talk to you about Jesus all day. I love Jesus. What am I going to do when someone threatens my life? What is going to happen when? So I feel, you know, this God is trying to be real with us, and he's saying, loved ones, I know that you're well-meaning. I know that you have, but sin is a very, very, very big thing. It's a powerful thing. But this is the best part. I know you're going to fall, but I want you to go and I want you to minister to the brothers. Does Jesus say, I know you're going to fall and you're just like all the rest? You just a bunch of words. All you do is act things out in a big way and you talk big and all those kind of things. And, you know, I should have just chosen somebody else. No. He says, I know I've been praying for you and I know this is going to happen, but listen to me very carefully. You're going to be doing this after you have denied me 3 times. You're going to be doing this and I'm going to come back and I'm going to tell you about these things when I rise from the dead. That's all he's saying. This is all involved in this little passage there in Luke. It's an amazing God that we have. Because, to be honest, I've done so many things, I don't deserve it. I don't deserve grace. I don't deserve love. A restoration. How many times do we get disappointed with somebody and say, oh, they did it again. They keep on doing that. You know, let's stop giving them the work. You know, we'll just take it away from them because obviously they don't have what it takes. That's what we tend towards. But Jesus sees faith. And he seizes it. And he rewards it. And he's very, very aware of our falling and our failing because he came to earth to die for it. He came to earth to die for it. Not to come and teach about it so we can, you know, follow these rules. He came in grace to die for us so that we would not have to die, right? That is amazing. That is who we're worshiping. That is who we're meeting today in the scriptures that Peter walked with and knew. And so then we come to this place that Betty was reading in this next section. First, Jesus foretells the denial of Peter, and then Peter does it. He denies his Lord, and he even knew it was going to happen. Right? He probably wasn't paying very good attention, or maybe he was enamored with the fact that he was thinking, I'm going to do this. I'm never going to leave you. I'm always going to be there, because he really did love Jesus. But the sin in him and the weakness of mankind is evident in him, and it's in all of us. Right? We don't know what we're going to do. We hope that we can be able to do that. But if we don't, Jesus is there for us. We just need to love him. And so what does he do? He's turned down Jesus. He's rejected 3 times, right? And this is what Betty was reading in chapter 22. The last thing he said was, man, I do not know what you're talking about. I don't know this dude. I don't know Jesus. I never saw him before. I was not with him. Why? He was afraid. He was afraid of what was going to happen to him, right? 3 times. And he's rejecting the very same person that he said, I will never leave you, I'll never forsake you, I will die, I will go to prison with you. And then these 3 people come up to him and they simply ask him, weren't you with him? And he says, no. Be aware of the power of sin and self-preservation, fear. Okay. So then, it goes on here. Peter remembered. Oh no, the Lord turned and looked at Peter. This is a remarkable scene. Jesus Christ, who he had just denied 3 times, was close enough to look and turn and look at Peter. And Peter remembered the saying of the Lord, how he had said to him, before the rooster crows today, you will deny me 3 times. And he went out and he cried bitterly. And this is what repentance looks like. Remorse. Christ looks at us And we're reminded of all the good purposes that we want. We fail him completely, not just once, but three times in a row. And it was exactly what Jesus said was going to happen there. And he cried bitterly. He went away and he wept. Now this to me is the beginning of repentance. We don't see the whole picture until we turn to the last part here. And we have to go to the Gospel of John. You can imagine that, you know, all that happened in between the point where Peter denied Jesus and he went and wept. Jesus was sentenced to death. He was hung on a cross. He died on the cross. He was buried. And then he rose from the grave. And this is where we see Peter again meeting Jesus. And it says Jesus appears to seven disciples. And we remember when Betty was reading it, we heard that it was the third time that Jesus had appeared to his disciples. It's the third time that he appeared, right? And I was going to go to the last part where Jesus spoke to Peter about his being restored and restoring him and giving him this work to do. But I really felt it was important to go from the beginning of the chapter because it gives a clear picture of who Peter was. Jesus is on the shore, and Peter, what does he do? When John says it's the Lord, he jumps into the water. Right? He jumps into the Lord. When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he was stripped for work, and threw himself into the sea. This man loved Jesus. He was a sinner who loved Jesus. He was a sinner who loved Jesus. There's many of us like that, isn't it? And when he saw him, can you imagine the sense, I mean, the deepness of his love? He had denied him three times. And there are many people that would have said, it's over. My life is a failure. I was waiting all of my life to meet someone like this, the Messiah that I read about in the prophecies and we were waiting for. And I met with him. I learned from him. I had this relationship with him. I was one of his go-to people, and I let him down. But what does Peter do? He shows his love for Jesus. He dives into the water to get to him as quickly as possible. So I think what God is really trying to tell us, everyone, is that it is possible. It is possible. Because of the grace of Christ, and because of his great love for us, and because of the design he has given to us for life, to include him, and to not be drowning in sorrow in all of these things that we have done wrong. It is important for us to see that Peter continued to love God. He continued to love Jesus. It thrilled him. He wanted to be with him. And I think that that's what God is teaching us today. That's what he wants. He wants to see that in us. Yes, we have sinned. Yes, we have done wrong. Yes, we have denied him in our own lives. But still, we have a relationship with him. Why? Because he went to the cross and he died for our sins. And when we believe on his name, we are free from sin. We're restored. We're given new life. And we pour ourselves into it and dive into the water and say, yes, Lord, it's him. I can't wait to be with him. And the picture that we had on the screen today shows that picture of Peter coming towards Jesus, right? And that you can put yourself in that picture. Jesus is there and you're walking towards him, right? You're walking towards him and there he is. He's waiting for you. The Christian life is a relationship with Jesus Christ, and it is completely an It's completely about his grace and love for us. It's about God loving us at our worst and giving us a second chance. We were just talking about that last week. Like, one of the things that we learned was the grace of God being the second chance for humankind. He loves you. He wants you to do well. He has things for you to do for his kingdom. And he gives us this picture of Jesus, of Peter here jumping into the water and going to him. And then after this scene from the verse 15, it says, when they finished breakfast, eating of these fish that they had caught and Jesus had brought about through a miracle, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? And then it's just like the three denials in reverse. He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And then a second time he said to him, feed my lambs. And then he said to him a second time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And he said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And he said to him, tend my sheep. And he said to him the third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. And Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. One of the most remarkable evidences and recordings of grace and restoration that exists to man. That we're reading about this right here in this kind of a way. It is extraordinarily beautiful. Extraordinarily beautiful. Something that we should cherish. Something that we should read over and over and over again and share with other people to let them know that Jesus forgives sins. That he forgives sinners just like we are. And he takes us and he puts us out there. Feed my sheep. Feed my lambs. Now go. You, the one who failed me three times and even told people you didn't even know me before. Yes, you. I don't care. I believe you. You love me. I know it. I knew it before you even denied me. I knew that you loved me. I had a plan for your life. That is how great my grace is. Now, Peter, take this and go and do what I command you to do. Feed my sheep. Feed my lambs. Extraordinary. He went on to tell him after that he was going to reach a point where he was going to give his life for the gospel, that he was going to give his life for Jesus as well. When I was reading through this chapter, I just learned on a whole nother level, everybody, the love of God, the love of Jesus for me. And I was just blown away looking at that and thinking, take my own life, right? For instance, the worst thing that I could have committed in my life, all of those things, Jesus knew about it before it happened. We always go from the aspect of this is some kind of a surprise for God. You know, now I've done this terrible thing, and oh, it was going well until then, right? I was doing so well, and I thought that I had it together and all these different things, and God is like, yeah, I knew about that. Do you love me? I know you love me. I know you love me. God is not looking for sinless people. He knows that we're sinners. He's looking for people to love him. But it comes back to the same thing that I was talking about where that guy came and spoke to us about our fear. We don't know if we can live up to the bold words that we speak for God. I don't think that Jesus was so against the whole thing. You know, it wasn't like he was trying to say, oh yeah, Peter, you're all talk and you're going to deny me three times. I don't believe he said it like that. I believe he said it with a knowing that goes beyond any kind of human thought and knowing. And he also knew that he was going to the cross to die for him. But I hope, everybody, today that these scriptures teach us just how deep that love that we sang about of Jesus really is. Do we take advantage of it? No, we don't want to take advantage of the love of Jesus. We don't say, well, I can just do what I want then and he'll love me. That isn't that you miss the point if you think that way. What we're talking about is in a person who is truly repentant is someone who says, I am going to devote myself to Christ, and I know I'm a sinner and I may fall, but I am going to, by the grace of God, pick myself up in his arms and I'm going to do what he says. And I'm going to devote myself to the work that he has given to me so that other people will know about him. And to be honest, people need to know that we are saved from sin. We don't go with the gospel and say, Jesus Christ died for your sins. We say that Jesus Christ died for my sins. And I know he's real because I knew the feeling that I had when I was a sinner and lost and dying. And that turned around the moment I met Jesus. And he gave me, instilled in my heart, such hope that I was forgiven, that I know it's the truth. We go to people and we share our story. We tell them the way it is for us. We share what happened to Peter. Most people, when they talk about knowing the Bible, they don't know anything. They wouldn't know about this story. They see it as a bunch of rules somewhere that God has written down for people to, you know, pay attention to and just kind of live their lives that way. So they don't really read what's in here. When they read the Bible for what it is, they see people. They see people like Peter, who loved Jesus and failed Jesus and loved Jesus still and was restored by Jesus, jumped into the water, running through the current and the waves of to go up on shore to be with him. Isn't that what we want? Isn't that what we want? We need to pray for it. God, give me that kind of love for you so that I don't want to sin anymore. So when the chance comes, I will say to him, to the people that ask me, yeah, I was with him and I'm really proud of it. I was with him. Yeah, and he is my Lord and my Savior. And it kills me to be able to see all these things happening to him. Do you understand who you're killing? Do you understand who it is that you've killed? It's the Lord God. It's the Son of God, the one who came to earth and died for our sins and rose again. That's who I believe in. And so we want to be prepared for that day. We want to do what Peter himself said. Prepare yourself with words for the time when someone asks you what you believe and say, this is what I believe. Right? This is what I believe. This is who he is to me. He looked down at me in all of my sin, in my worthlessness in my own eyes, and Satan taking joy in my defeat. And he lifted me up. That's who I believe in. And you're right, I was with him. And you're right, I am with him. That is what we want. That is what God wants for us. And so we praise God. And you know what happened after that? Peter went right back to being the same Peter. Who's going to be first in the kingdom of God, Lord? And you could see Jesus going, I can't. What am I going to do with you? You know, I mean, He still loves him, right? That's the whole thing. And he uses him for his kingdom. It's a very humbling thing to be a servant of God because he asks you to be completely honest with him. And we have to be very honest with ourselves, and that's what repentance is about. It's letting go of the things that you're holding on to that are causing a friction between you and God and not allowing you to be able to thrive and have an abundant life the way Jesus wants you to. And so when we talk about repentance, and it's a godly sorrow, we can think about Peter who cried and wept after he realized, and Jesus looked at him and he realized that he had done exactly the thing that he said he wouldn't do. Man, hold on to that, because we do that all the time. But it was there that when he wept and cried over what he had done, that his heart began to soften. He realized that he wasn't strong enough with all of his gusto and all of his zealousness for Jesus and all these things that he was going to do. When he lost all of that, then Jesus could come in and he could restore him and make him strong in love. And the love is going to be shown by helping others, by going to other people, getting involved in their lives and being the light of God. And that's what God wants for us too. It's a scary thought, but he's going to be there for us, and he's going to do exactly what we talked about at the beginning. We fall, we repent, we turn, and we go on. Where are you in that picture? If you're in the place where you're thinking, I'm not worthy of this, then read this again and spend time with Jesus, and you'll see that he will lift you up and he'll show you where you need to go. And you will rejoice and be glad in it. Amen.